Thank you, my friends. God bless you. Beautifully sung. Ephesians chapter 5.
All right. That went off on me. There it goes. Everybody's with me, right? Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. We are giving you part 2 to this message entitled Imitating God as a Husband. Imitating God as a Husband, as a spouse, if you will. This is our series that we're going through on Sundays on being imitators of God, imitating the Lord, being like He is, how He responds, how He acts. We've already imitated Him as far as a sermon is concerned as a father. That's last week. And now this morning and now tonight and all day next Sunday, the good Lord willing, we'll be imitating God as a husband. Look at chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Notice it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Imitating God as a husband. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love You. Thank You for this service. Thank You for this morning, how You began this message. I pray that You'll help it to continue now. I need Your help. I need Your guidance. Lord, we're excited about next week already, if You tarry Your coming and give us life. But Lord, help us to get something tonight out of this message. Speak to us in a thorough way. Challenge our marriages. Challenge our hearts. Comfort our hearts that we are loved by You like this. Help us to be faithful to You and Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat. I do encourage you, if you were not here this morning or you were out of the service, to go back and get this so you can get up to the point to where we are. The marriage relationship is precious to God because He's the one who instituted the marriage of one woman with one man until death do us part. We see this in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. And again, of any relationship that He could have chosen to picture Christ and the church, God uses the marriage relationship between a man and a woman to picture Christ and the church. That being the case, this makes marriage very important to Him, makes marriage very vital to Him, and therefore should be very important to us and vital to us as well. As pastor of this wonderful church of you precious, precious people, let me emphasize to you again that this church will only be as strong as the homes that are represented within it. I know the devil's out to destroy the homes that are here tonight. And one of the ways that he does this is he will attack your marriage. He will go after the marriage relationship. And as we approach this message that will last for several services, I want you again now to ask the Lord to speak to your heart and strengthen your marriage. Now, there's not one marriage here and not one marriage worldwide that cannot be helped in some way to become more like Jesus Christ. There's no marriage that has arrived. There's no marriage that can't take another step in the right direction. We need to determine that our marriages will get better and better and be more and more like Christ and determined to imitate Him as a spouse. Now, before I began my study of this particular message here on studying the Lord Jesus Christ as a husband and how He treats us as His bride, I thought that there would be several different thoughts coming out that He does for His bride, like that thought, and then independent of that thought, this thought, and independent of that thought, this thought. But while there are several thoughts that could be brought out, that the Lord has guided my attention to one major thing that He does for His bride that all of God's children can apply to our marriages today. Now, here's the one truth. I've already introduced it this morning. I'm going to say it again. The one truth I want to focus on throughout this whole message that's taking several services is that we need to imitate God in our marriages in one area. And that area is this: Christ loves his bride. It's that simple. Jesus loves his bride. See, everything he does for her is because of his love for her. Now, in our text, the Bible says for husbands to love our wives, but we can apply this same truth whether you're a husband or a wife, because in John 15:9 and then following, he says, as the Father had loved me, the same word, agape, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love, love one another. So husbands and wives can get this same thought, but especially husbands from our text here. The Bible says here that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And the Greek word that he uses here, and I don't refer to the original language a lot, but this is so powerful because this is the key thought of the entire message here. The Greek word for the word love here is the word agape. Now that's important to understand because there are different kinds of love within the Word of God that's brought out in the Greek language. There are three major ones. Number one, it's phileo love. In other words, if you look up the word love in the Bible, it's either going to say phileo, eros, or agape. The phileo word is brotherly love. It's affectionate love. It's what you have for a friend, okay? The eros love is where we get our word erotic. It is sexual love. It is intimate love. Thirdly, there's this word called agape love. And this word agape is God's love for man. It is unconditional. It's sacrificial. Now get this. Every marriage should have all three of those loves. God wants every marriage to have all three. But most marriages bypass agape. And they try to build their marriage on eros. Or they try to build their marriage on phileo. May I tell you that what the world calls love is not God's love. It's not agape love. What the world basically means by I love you, I'm talking about watching soap operas, which I don't, amen. But watching soap operas or Hollywood movies and people say I love you, and they're not even married, excuse me, and they end up in the bed together, that's not agape love. That's eros love. And I'm telling you that what Jesus Christ loves me with is not eros love. This word love here in this text is agape. We need to love one another with agape love. Agape love. It's this agape love that I want to focus on because the major points I'm bringing out has to do with agape love. This morning we looked at this, three major things, and we'll pick up right here where we left off. Number one, we noticed the command to agape love. Now again, love and agape is the same word. I'm just using them together again, so you just keep them tied together. So the main thoughts of the message, Roman numeral one, the command to agape love, that kind of love, we are commanded to love one another with agape love. Secondly, we noticed the creator of agape love. That's found in 1 John 4:9, where it says, for love, agape, every verse I'm using is agape. For love, agape, is of God. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that word love there is agape love. Hey, the fruit of the Spirit is agape love. You cannot muster up this love just because you determined to have it for your spouse. It's a good thing to determine that you're going to love them, but you can't muster up agape love. You can't create it in yourself. You can't read other books and it creates agape love. No, it comes from God. It's a gift from God. God gives this love. He's the creator of it. Then number three, we notice the characteristics of agape love. And the first one we noticed this morning, it's all C's, just to help you now if you're taking notes. By the way, if you're not taking notes, that's okay. You can have my sermon. Just ask me for it. I'll print off, give it to you. Hey, listen, take it, read it, meditate on it. We're looking at what kind of a love is this? When you put agape love under a spiritual microscope, how is it characterized? What does it do? And let me remind you, my friends, that agape love is not a feeling. Agape love is not a feeling that you experience. Agape love is an action that you do. It's a command to obey. First thing we looked at this morning is we saw, first of all, that agape love is Calvary love. We saw that in verse number 25 where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." If you want to know what agape love is, if you want to know how much Christ loves his bride, if you're saved today, you're part of his bride. Hey, it's a privilege to be part of the bride of Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you're saved today, let me tell you how much he loves you. Look at Calvary. He loves you so much that he showed you. He committed himself completely to you. He devoted himself completely to you. And he proved by his action of dying on the cross for you that that's how much he loves you. The point here is that we're not to be in marriage to get what we can, but give all we have. This is what the Lord did, and this is how much he loves us. Let us love our mate the same way. First of all, it's Calvary love. We pick up right there tonight. Number two, agape love, the characteristics of it. What kind is it? Number two, it is consecrating and cleansing love. It is consecrating and cleansing love. Look at verse 26 in your text there, Ephesians 5. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The word sanctify here means to be holy. It means to purify. It means to consecrate. That's where I get the word consecrating. The word cleanse means to purge or to purify. Now the point here is the Lord's agape love for his bride. Now get this now. His agape love, the kind of love he loves me with, consecrates me, cleanses me. Get this. His love for his bride consecrates her, cleanses her, makes her holy, makes her pure. Get this. Agape love does everything in its power to maintain the bride's holiness, to maintain the bride's virtue, to maintain the bride's righteousness, to maintain the bride's purity. Agape love purifies, it never perverts. Agape love never, now get this now, agape love never allows anything that will make the spouse dirty. Agape love only promotes purity. It only promotes holiness. It's interesting to note how the Lord Jesus does this. How does he sanctify and cleanse his wife? Look at verse number 26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the," what? "By the word." One commentator put it well by saying, "A Jewish bride, before she was presented to her husband, was bathed in water." This in the Old Testament. Ruth was. All these kind of things. Esther and so on. One of them two was. Anyway, go back and find it yourself. Take my word. Well, don't take my word for it. Check me out in the Word of God. Don't ever take your word for it. Go look it up yourself. But in the Old Testament and back in this day, a Jewish bride, before she was presented to her husband, was bathed in water. So the Word of God says that the Lord Jesus Christ with his bride, those who are saved, he sanctifies and cleanses by washing her by the Word. Man, this is powerful. You say, what do you mean? So the church in order to have its thorough consecration to Christ, is purified by the Word of God. Now get this, let me apply this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, agape loves his wife. And because he agape loves her, he uses his word and he washes her. He cleanses her. He consecrates her. He will never put anything in her life that will make her not like himself. Agape love purifies with the word of God. Is everything you're doing for your spouse, is everything you're doing helping them be pure, helping them be holy? Or are you allowing things to come into your home that's against Scripture, that's against the Bible? And it's allowing dirt and filth to come into your home and dirty your spouse. If you agape love your spouse, you will be like a bulldog making sure nothing that doesn't look like Christ is going to come inside this home. I'll amen myself tonight, friends. Agape love purifies. And friends, listen to me. The way you purify your spouse is the Word of God must be priority. Are you giving one another a spiritual bath? Are you bathing one another with the Word of God? If you truly love one another, I'm not talking about eros and phileo, I'm talking about agape. If you truly love one another with agape love, it involves sanctification, cleansing with God's precious word. Make the word of God top priority in your marriage. Are you reading God's word individually? Are you reading God's word together? Remove all things from your home that does not promote purity. You know what agape love will do in somebody's home who may be sitting here tonight or somebody listening live or listening to this later? You know what agape love does? It cleans out its movies if it has to. You know what agape love does? It doesn't allow certain books to come into the home. You know what agape love does? There are certain TV programs that you'll never watch because agape love purifies. It consecrates. It cleanses. John 17, 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So what priority does this book have in your home? May I say this to you, husband, because you're the leader in your home. If you do not make sure that your family, whether it's just you and your wife or you and your kids, if you do not make sure that your family has a time every day that you are sitting down and reading the Bible, you don't agape your wife. You judge me, then be judged. Amen. You say, "Jody, wait a minute. You're telling me that if I don't have the Word of God as part of my family, I don't agape love?" That's exactly what I'm telling you. Agape love only comes from the Word of God. And you cannot have agape love one for another and bypass that book. It doesn't work that way. Agape love consecrates. It cleanses with the Word. Let me give you number three. Agape love is not only a consecrated and cleansing love, but number three, it's a caring love. It's a caring love. We see this in verses 28 and 29. Listen to these verses. You can read them with me. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." You say, "Jody, what's the point?" There's a great thought comes out here. These verses tell husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. Verse 29 says, no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. In other words, the Lord nourishes the church. He cherishes the church just like a man does with his body, okay? The word hated here, where it says no man yet hated his own flesh, the word hated means detest it. The word nourisheth means to bring to maturity and feed, to put food in the mouth. The word cherisheth means to warm or clothe. Now you say, Jody, what's the point here? That word cherisheth, where it talks about warming and clothing, carries the idea of a bird sitting on a nest, protecting and warming the little birds. Here's the point. The Word of God says here, husbands, love your wives as you love yourself. I don't love myself. Really? Did you wear a coat tonight? Did you wrap up a little bit tighter tonight? Why? Because you love comfort, don't you? And you love your body too much to go out in the cold and not put extra clothing on. Amen. You say, I don't love myself, really. Did you feed yourself today? Was it good? Ate at Mama's house. Glory. Homemade soup. It was amazing. You know what these verses are saying? We all love ourselves. It's amazing to see how we try to protect our own bodies. You cut yourself and see how every fiber of your being goes to what's hurt and tries to care for it. Make sure it's nursed back to health. You don't just say, well, I'm about to lose a finger, who cares? No, it's your body. You love your body. You nourish your body. You feed your body. You cherish your body. You clothe your body. You don't hate yourself. You love yourself. You care about how you feel. You care about being clothed. You'll go to great lengths to provide for your body and to protect your body at all cost. Some of you have a gun in your home. Why? Protect my family. I know, and I agree with that. But let's be honest. Protect yourself too, amen. We love ourselves. And the Word of God says right here for husbands to love their wives as their own bodies. What's he saying? He's saying just like you care for yourself, agape love cares the same way for its mate. Verses 29 and 30 says the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, his bones. The point here is the Lord is one with his bride. We're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what he does to his body, he's doing to me because I am his body. Let me ask you a question. How do you see your mate? How do you look at your marriage? Do you look at your marriage as two human beings who are trying to get along under the same roof? May I say to you, friends, if you don't recognize your mate as being one with you, then you will not care for them like you care for you. See, this is what agape love does. Agape love, as a husband, doesn't say, there's my wife. Agape love doesn't say, as a wife, there's my husband. Agape love looks at the wife as a husband and says, there I am. And the wife look at the husband and say, there I am. They don't see each other as two separate beings. They see each other as one. And just like they will be concerned and care so much to be comfortable, make sure they're fed when they're hungry, make sure they're clothed when they're cold, they will love their wife the same way, just like they love their own body. When you said, I do, you became one in the eyes of God. Therefore, as you go to extremes to protect and provide for your body, personally, agape love cares for the mate with the same kind of love. It's a caring love. One commentator said it this way: the general idea is that we want things, and that Christ has a tender concern, a care for the wants of the church, as a man has for his own body, and that the husband should show a similar regard for his wife. You say, how much does Christ love the church? As his body. That's another name of the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. This is how he loves me, and this is how I should love my weight. My mate. Amen. Let me ask you this. Do you love your mate as much as you love yourself? Do you take as much care for your mate as you do for you? Agape love does. It is a caring love. Number four. I'm trying to get through all of this so I don't keep you here forever and ever and ever, okay? Number four, agape love is a cleaving love. A cleaving love. We see this in verses 30 and following. Look at this. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave and shall be joined unto his wife. That word joined means cleaved. And they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. God help me to explain this right, okay? The word joined here means to cleave. That's where I get the word cleaving. It means to be glued to. To be glued to. The Lord Jesus, now get this. Don't miss this. Does the Lord Jesus love his Father, his Heavenly Father? Amen? Yes? That never changes, does it? Never changes. But he loves you so much that he left his Father so he can cleave to me. The Lord helped me to explain this so nobody misunderstands what I'm saying. We are now one with him. The point here is while we are to love and honor our parents, we are. We're to love our parents. We're to honor our parents. But the Word of God says we're also to leave them and cleave to our mate. This is what agape love does. One commentator put it this way: let a man rather leave his father and mother than not cleave to his wife. The apostle does not cancel the obligations of other relations. In other words, he's not saying don't love your parents. He doesn't say refuse to love them. No, because that would go against Scripture. But he's saying this: you're to cleave to one person in this life. You're to be stuck like glue to one person. And that person is not mom and daddy. That person is husband. Or wife. He is stuck on me like glue. Aren't you glad, friends? Aren't you glad Christ is cleaving unto his bride? We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We are one. We are literally one with Christ. And he's saying, if you're going to have the marriage that God wants you to have, and you're going to be loving each other as I love you, then you've got to leave and cleave to one another. You are not to cleave with your parents, but you're to cleave with your spouse. Agape love cleaves to its spouse, recognizing the union they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now get this. This does not mean that you neglect your parents. That is not what I'm saying. This does not mean that you hi-hat your mom and daddy and that you don't talk to them. Hey, the preacher said, I've got to leave. No, friends. But it does mean that you recognize the fact that when you got married, you became one with your mate. And you are to cleave unto your mate, not your parents. Agape love is cleaving love. It's unified. It's one. Number five. I'm trying to stay with C, so don't let this throw you off. Number five, agape love is what I've entitled, it's coming love. Coming love. Now, we're going away from Ephesians chapter 5 to go elsewhere here. Look at, matter of fact, you don't have to turn to this. Just let me turn to it. In John chapter 11, if you're keeping notes, verses 1 through 5 and then verse number 17. This is the story of the raising of Lazarus, okay? And in verse number 1 and following, here's what it says. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, get this. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest. Every verse I'm giving you now, it's agape. That's agape there, okay? He whom thou agape is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha. There it is again. He loved them. That's agape. Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse number 17. Then when Jesus came, when he came, agape love is a coming love. You say, what are you talking about? In this particular passage, we see that Lazarus was sick, and his sisters sent to Jesus for him to come to them in their time of need. Now, it's interesting to note how the Word of God says the sisters identified Lazarus as he whom the Lord loved. He agapes him. Verse 5 says that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Again, that is the word agape. Now, there are great lessons in this chapter, and I'm preaching through John. When we get there, I'll give them to you. But for the sake of this message here, let's not deviate from the main thought, what I'm trying to get across, of imitating God as a husband with agape love. The Lord loved these people with agape love. What did he do when they sent for him in time of need? Now, get this. His love responded, and it came to them. He didn't leave them to figure it out on their own. He didn't turn a deaf ear to the cry of these people. His agape love came to them, responded to their time of need. Now let me apply this and show you what I'm talking about. Husbands and wives can apply this truth to your marriage. Agape love, now get this, agape love always comes when the mate has a need. All kinds of needs. Agape love doesn't turn a deaf ear to our mate when they're troubled and needing comfort. Agape love always responds to the mate in time of need. Let me ask you a question. When your mate approaches you with something that's troubling them, do you belittle it? Or do you come to them and help them bear it? There may be a marriage right now, and I'm going to talk to the men just a moment, because most of the time, ladies don't need help to respond to needs, okay? Sometimes they do, but a majority of the time, typically it's the man. Does your wife know, sir, that she can come to you about anything? And if it's bothering her, she knows that you're going to help her the best you know how. How do you respond when your mate has a need? Well, I tell you, I just don't know what to do here. Would you help me? By the way, you shouldn't have to force your mate to come to you. You should be able to be sensitive enough to realize, hey, she's struggling with something. Hey, he's struggling with something. And approach them and say, is there anything I can help you with? You know what agape love does? It comes. It doesn't leave. It comes running during a time of need. Let me give you number 6. Agape love is constraining love. Constraining love. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14, here's what it says. This is what the Apostle Paul said. For the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constraineth us. Guess what the love is there? The agape of Christ. In this verse, the Apostle Paul said that the love of Christ constraineth us. This word constraineth means arrest. Christ agape has arrested me. It means to keep in. It means to stop in your tracks. It means to be taken with. It means that the Apostle Paul says this, I've been conquered. I mean, I've been conquered by the love of Jesus Christ. Can I put it this way? There were certain things that Paul would do because the love of Christ for him constrained him to do it. But on the flip side, there were other things that the Apostle Paul would not do because the love of Christ stopped him in his tracks. Do you know what agape love does? It says yes and no. You understand what I'm saying to you? You get this? Let me tell you why there are things that my body may want to do, but I'm not going to do it. Because the love of Christ constrains me. When you have agape love in your home, it helps your mate to be stopped, constrained. Christ's love stopped him, arrested him, conquered him. In the same way, the love of Christ constrains us. When we truly see how much he loves us, we're constrained by it. There's certain things, again, that I choose to do and not to do because he loved me so much that he died for me, and I desire to be all I can be for him. Dr. Clarence Sexton puts it this way, it would be wonderful if your wife could say, I never thought I could live in this life and be married to someone who loves me as you love me and cares for me as you care for me, giving me the attention that you give me. A spouse who is loved with agape love will be constrained by it. And it'll be hard to sin against. Let us love our mate so much with agape love that it stops them. That it arrests them and conquers them. We need husbands and wives with constraining love. That's agape love. I want to ask you a question. Is your mate constrained by your love? Are you loving your mate so much that there's some things they'll never do? And you know you can trust them. Now that does not mean that if you agape love your spouse, that they're going to turn out great, they're going to turn out right, and they're never going to sin against you. That's not what I'm saying. But I will say this. If there was more agape love in the Christian marriage, there would be less loose living. That is no excuse for loose living. Don't misunderstand me. But there are some things, excuse me, I just can't help myself but do it. Because he loves me too much. There are other things, excuse me, I can't do that. Because I'm constrained by his love. Agape love is constraining love. Let me give you 2 more and I'm done. Not with a sermon. That's next week. I hope you'll be here next week. Glory. If this snow will stay away from here and all this, I hope you'll be here next week. 1 Corinthians 13, powerful, powerful stuff. I hope you'll be here to help your marriage. The next thing we see is agape love is calming love. It is calming love. We see this in 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to give you the text. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to give it to you. Verses 7 through 18. Let me just read a couple of verses here. Beloved, let us not love one another. Let us love one another. That's agape. For love, agape, is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect. We may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, listen to this. There is no fear in love. But perfect love, agape, casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. One preacher said it this way: the love of God, the love of Jesus, calms us. We as Christians are calmed not by the absence of trouble, but by the presence of the shepherd. The presence of the shepherd drives our fear away. The point is, the love of the Lord casts out fear. Agape love casts out fear. Eros love doesn't do that. Phileo love doesn't do that. But agape love casts out fear, the Bible says. There's no fear in agape love. Fear can't dwell in the same place where agape love is. Can I say it this way? This world is filled with hate. This world is filled with crime. This world is filled with trouble. But for the child of God, we find peace. We find calm. We find quietness in the fact that no matter what happens, God loves me. No matter what takes place, God loves me. And even though there's trouble and there's turmoil and things are trying to make you afraid and fearful, what are you going to do about this? You are calmed in the middle of trouble because you know your shepherd is with you. It's a calming love. There's no terror in fear or fear in agape love. There's so much turmoil in Christian homes when there should be so much peace. Does our love for our mates calm our fears? Calm their fears? Do we love our mates with agape love that brings peace to our home? Is your home a place of peace? A place of calm? Or is your home filled with fear, trouble, turmoil? A home where agape love is present is a calm home. You ever heard this? I'm just afraid that my mate's going to leave me. I'm scared to death that if I make the wrong move, they're gone. If that's the case, agape love is absent from your home. Agape love never creates fear. Agape love creates calm. Let me give you the final thing for this day, and then we'll pick up here next Sunday morning. The final thing we see is we see that agape love is a causing love. It causes something. This kind of goes hand in hand with constrain, but it's a little bit different. 1 John 4:19 says this: we love him. We agape him. Because he first loved us. I'm just about done now, okay? Don't miss this. We agape him because he first agaped us. The demonstration of Christ's love for us causes us to love him in return. Why do you love him? Because he first loved you. Agape love is a love that causes a response. The way he speaks with me, the way he treats me, the way he died for me causes me to love him back. One preacher said, the more I know him, the more I love him. And the more your wife knows of your love and care for her, the more love she will return to you. Agape love is a love that causes. Can I put it another way? It's a love that initiates. It doesn't sit back and wait for the mate to make the first move. Agape love doesn't say, I'll show them love when they show me love. I'll respond when they'll have to make the first move toward me. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus made the first move. Amen. He initiated, he caused love. This kind of love, agape love, initiates the process. It loves first. Could it be, I know I'm taking some time here, but forget it. Could it be that I'm speaking to a marriage that's struggling tonight? Could it be that I'm speaking to a marriage that maybe nobody on planet Earth knows what you're going through at home? Going back to this morning, what you both need to do is get on your face and fall in love with God. Because the agape love comes from God, and you get close to God as an individual, and God will give you this love for one another. And stop looking at the other person and say, well, if she'd just do this, then I would. Or if he would do this, then I would. I am so glad God did not say, if you will do this, then I will do that for your soul. I am glad that when I did not deserve it, Jesus Christ loved me anyway. And I am glad that he initiated the process and he loved me first. And because he loved me first, I can't help but love him back. There are too many marriages sitting back waiting on the other spouse to act first. Agape love always acts first and helps cause the right response. If your spouse is not responding to you right, in other words, if you say, as far as I know, I'm agape loving her, I'm agape loving him, and I'm not getting any kind of response at all, you need to make sure it's not something you've caused by not loving them the way you should. And while a mate may respond wrong, it is possible for a mate to respond wrong to agape love. It is possible that there's a wife who's agape loving her husband. He doesn't want anything to do with it because he's in love with something else. By the way, everybody loves something. Amen. I just don't love her. Who do you love then, sir? What do you love then, sir? Because you love something or somebody with the love that you need to be loving your wife with. I'm not falling for that trash. Amen. I'm telling you that they may not respond right, but we need to see that we ought to love our mates to the point that if they do choose to respond in kind, it will be with agape love. Now tonight, as we come to a close, how is your marriage so far? In this message that we have spoken on all day today about imitating God as a husband, as a spouse, the command to agape love, it's not an option, it's not a feeling, it's a command to obey. The Creator being God Himself, only God can give you that love. That's why it's so vitally important that you know Him as your Savior and that you're walking with Him and you're Spirit-filled and Spirit-controlled, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It comes from God. The characteristics of it, hey, it's Calvary love. It's the love that puts yourself on the cross for your mate. It's a love that says no to self for the sake of your spouse. It's a love that consecrates and cleanses. In other words, not going to let anything come in that's going to pervert and make dirty. It does a divine house cleaning. It's a caring love. Just like you care for your body, you feed your body when you're hungry, you clothe your body when you're cold, you care for one another with that same kind of love, realizing that you are one in the Lord. It's a cleaving love. It leaves father and mother, and it cleaves to one person, and that's your spouse. It's a coming love. Whenever your mate has a problem, has a need, they know they can come to you, and you in turn will come to them. It's a coming love. It's a constraining love. It sets up boundaries. I mean, if they pay attention to it, if they heed it, it will stop them from doing some things and help them do other things. It's a calming love. There's no fear in it. There's no trouble in it. There's only peace. And it's a causing love. It doesn't wait for the other person to make the first step. It takes the first step, and in turn, it causes those who have been loved to love back. Next week, we will look at the final characteristic that has 15 points under it. But up to that point, how's God speaking to your heart tonight? Determine to have the greatest marriage that is possible. I'd like to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Strengthen the marriages that are here tonight. Strengthen our homes. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Tonight, how is God speaking to you? If you sit here tonight and you say, you know, I'm doing good. Nothing I need to work on so far. Well, I find it hard to believe that. But if that's how you feel, I trust that your marriage is right where it needs to be. As they begin to play through softly, if you've never trusted Christ, come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. If you have trusted Christ and Christ alone, how's your marriage? Do you have a love like this? Do you have a causing love, a calming love, a constraining love, a coming love, a cleaving love, a caring love, a consecrating love, a cleansing love? Do you have Calvary love in your marriage? I'm not going to have any singing tonight. We may end up singing in a minute, but just nothing to start this. Sir, why don't you grab your wife by the hand? Why don't you come to the altar and get on your face and say, God, help us to imitate you in our marriage. It may be that it's exactly what you're doing, but you want God to bless even further. Oh, what a marriage God wants you to have. Don't settle for anything less. Father, take it and use it, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. No singing, but right now, if God is speaking to your heart, if the Lord is speaking to your heart about imitating the Lord as a husband with this kind of love, then why don't you come to this altar right now, right now, right now, Leave your place now and come to this altar. Come now. Come on. Come on now. Ask God to speak to you. Give you the marriage that you dream about. Give you the marriage that God desires for you. Don't settle for anything less. That's it. That's it. Come on. Come on. Well, some of you young people, you're not married right now. And one day, God willing, you will be. Why don't you come and get on your face and say, God, give me that love from my future mate. Give me that love from my future husband, my future wife. Give us agape love. Agape love. I told you we might sing later. I'm going to have Brother Gary sing right now. And as we sing, there's still time for you. Come on. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. You're standing, you can look this way, they're playing through. I went a little overtime tonight. Can I capitalize on that and say this? I sure hope marriages will go overtime in this church. Amen. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I love you. And I trust it's agape love. I'm tired. I'm weary of the devil getting our marriages. I'm talking worldwide, just generally speaking. Determine he's not going to get yours. Amen. This is Crystal Dykes. Jennifer's been continuing to be used by God. She was sharing her testimony with a place, and Crystal was there, and you know one another. That's correct, right? Sent a gospel track home with her. She read that gospel track and trusted Christ as her Savior. And you're coming tonight to tell us that you are not ashamed to say that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that true? We are so thrilled for you. She's not ashamed to tell you folks that she's trusted Christ. And we want to say welcome to the family of God. I want you to stay there. I'm sure our folks will come by and greet you. Can I encourage you? Be back next Sunday. Don't miss this. You going to go overtime? I don't know. If I do, is that going to bother you? I hope not. We're trying to strengthen your homes. May the Lord help you. I need these. I hope you feel the same way about it. May God add his blessing to it. Amen. Oh, many of you will come by and shake her hand. Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Watch Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, please.